No grand slam for Spencer Steer. Let's hope that continues.
A few moments later.
Steer to left center. Grand slam! The first of his big league career. A big time big fly and a 6-2 Reds lead in extras.
Well, hey, what's going on? Happy Tuesday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Well, coming up in a bit, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube, a very spirited Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. But first, let's recap the game from Monday night. Reds taking on the Philadelphia Phillies, first of three at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. In the top of the first, Reds leadoff batter Jonathan India smoked a triple to right field, and the Reds look to be off to a really good start in this one. Spencer Steer, the next batter, hit a weak fly ball. Jonathan India tagged, ran home. He didn't slide, but he was ruled safe, just beating the throw, at least it appeared. The Phillies challenged, and they won. Looking back, Christian Encarnacion Strand, who was the on-deck batter, was nowhere to be found on the replay. You kind of expect Encarnacion Strand in that spot to be telling India to get down and slide as your typical on-deck hitter would have, but nonetheless, the Reds missed a golden opportunity early. In the bottom of the first, the Phillies made the Reds pay. Kyle Schwarber led off with a weak single to center field off Reds starter Andrew Abbott. Abbott then walked Trey Turner, did rebound, struck out Bryce Harper, and got a lineout from JT Realmuto, but with two outs, Alec Bohm hit a changeup that was about a foot off the plate, and he only hit it a whopping 67.5 miles an hour, but it was placed perfectly and went down the right field line, past the shifted Christian Encarnacion Strand playing first base, and the Phillies took a quick 2-0 lead. But Andrew Abbott after that was absolutely flawless. He ended up going 5 1/3 innings pitched, just gave up 3 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts, a very strong 2024 debut for Andrew Abbott. Reds still trailed 2-0 going into the top of the sixth as Philly starter Christian Sanchez was just absolutely dealing. He had 8 strikeouts through the first 5 innings. But in the fifth, Jonathan India led off with a walk. Spencer Steer doubled, and the Reds were able to chase Sanchez out of the game. In came in the former Red, Jeff Hoffman. Christian Encarnacion Strand greeted him with a single, putting the Reds on the board. They trailed 2-1. And then Jamer Candelario, the next batter, he singled, tying the game up at 2. We would stay tied at 2 as Emilio Pagan and Justin Wilson got through the 6th and the 7th inning, pitching very well for the Reds in the bullpen. In the 8th, Brett Suter really did struggle. He only got 1 out, and David Bell went to closer Alexis Diaz much earlier than you typically expect, especially Diaz coming off a rough first outing of the season on Saturday. But Diaz, he got out of the eighth with the game still tied, got some assistance with some really bad base running by Philly center fielder Johan Rojas as he got picked off second base. The Reds didn't score in the top of the ninth, and Alexis Diaz came roaring back out in the bottom of the ninth and went 1-2-3. Alexis Diaz retired all 5 batters that he faced on Monday night. And we move to extra innings as the Phillies brought in their reliever Connor Brogdon, and he just could not find the strike zone. He walked Will Benson and Jonathan India, and that loaded the base runners, counting, of course, the ghost runner to start the inning. And Spencer Steer came to the plate, and Spencer Steer made Brogdon pay for his lack of command. He hit a grand slam to left field, the first of his big league career, 104 off the bat, 6-2. Cincinnati. TJ Antone was really the only Reds reliever that was fresh left at this point. Lucas Sims and Buck Farmer each threw a lot of pitches. Buck Farmer did actually get up and warming at one point in the 10th inning as Antone was a bit shaky. The only runner he did allow to score, though, to his credit, was the ghost runner, and he struck out Bryce Harper to end the game. Reds win 6-3 in 10 innings, and your Cincinnati Reds now 3-1 on the season. Here's what Spencer Steer had to say to reporters after the game on his first career Grand Slam and the Reds getting a big win.
And I like being in those big situations. Those are the spots I want to be in. I don't want to shy away from those moments. So to come up like that tonight was great, obviously, and just moving forward, keep doing that in those spots. Yeah, no, it was just a really cool moment. I usually don't show a whole lot of emotion on the field and just kind of lost it right there. But yeah, I was just happy to come through for the squad because I feel like we played a really good game tonight, and Abbott really kept us in that game after that first inning. So yeah, it was just nice to come through for the guys, man. It feels good. No, we're going to – I mean, home runs are awesome, but we're going to, you know, play our style of game. Keep being aggressive, keep creating chaos, but like I said, the homers are a nice little bonus.
Here's Andrew Abbott talking about his first start of the 2024 season.
It wasn't that cold when you start moving around. I think the cold just kind of hits you when you're kind of sitting. I was actually steaming, sitting on the dugout. I take my hat off and you kind of see some steam. That's baseball. It happens. But, you know, it felt really good to go out there and at least compete, hold them where they were, to give the team a chance to come back and win. Ultimately, we did it. So just trying to do my part.
It seemed like you got the broken bat leadoff hit, and then you got a, you know, the strands playing off the line, and you get a double, kind of some bad luck, but you settled in very nicely, it seemed after that.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate, but like I said, it's going to happen. It's just about how you bounce back and just try to at least hold them right there. You know, a high-powered offense, a lot of guys that can do a lot of damage. Just trying to execute pitches, trying to induce early weak contact, which I was able to do, and just go as long as I can for the bullpen.
How much can this springboard for you? A lot to build on once you got through that first inning.
Yeah, there's a lot to build on. There's a lot to reflect. That can get better, of course. But it's just really good to see just the plan of the offseason and spring training kind of come into fruition today. Just getting inside on them, keeping them off balance, throwing off speed for strikes. Like, just able to do what I was trying to do in spring training, it means that I can do it in every start moving forward.
How tough was that? I know you talked about working a inside the right-handers with the fastball. How tough was that process? And like you said, it's got to be very satisfying to be able to do that tonight.
I would say it's kind of tough. DJ does a really good job with me, at least kind of simplifying it, telling me like little cues to focus on. And during the game, I just try to stick to those. You know, a couple of them are not going to be inside, I know that, but as long as I can get in there and establish that, then it's another weapon. And
that the last guy you faced, he hits a rocket back, and you didn't really see that, did you?
I saw the ball. I knew Ellie was playing behind me, so I was like, just going to try to, you know, it was probably going to be a one-hopper, but, you know, hopefully it goes right to him. But, yeah, I just stuck my glove out, just tried to make an athletic play on it, and it worked. But I knew I had Ellie back there, too, so.
And you played it so cool afterwards.
Yeah, Being in baseball, you know, I've been hit before on comebackers. You know, it's not a fun thing, but you know, you're another defender out there, just as much as these guys behind you. So just try to make their lives easier sometimes.
How are you guys? You know, there's a lot of players in this team that do a lot of things, but it seems like Spencer Steer is always in the middle of something. That, you know, he was a big offensive guy for you last year, and it just seems like this year already. You know, tonight, obviously,
he does. Great player. I played with him before the Reds, honestly, so I've known how he plays for a while. You know, just great clubhouse guy. He'll pick you up when you need it. He's got great defense. You know, he's a utility guy. He can play anywhere you need him to play except for catcher, I think. He's played everywhere else. So, you know, just a guy you can count on just day in, day out. Does his work. You know, there's no questions asked. No one has to get on because he does everything. And, you know, the success speaks for itself. I mean, he had a great year last year, and hopefully this year is a little bit better, or, you know, just as good.
Bryce hit that ball hard off you, but other than that, you guys are really able to keep Bryce down. What were you able to do, you personally and the club, against him tonight?
I think it was just a really good just approach against him. You know, obviously with his career and, you know, Real Muto and Turner and all of those guys, you know, we had a really good plan kind of going into it about spinning and keeping him off balance, you know, keep him guessing as much as possible. And I feel like when you're able to execute those to what pitchers can do, then it kind of plays into your favor. You know, keep them guessing. You know, I was landing everything for strikes, which makes it a tad bit harder to hit off me when I have all four in the zone. But you know, for everybody else too, I mean, it just adds another percentage that you have to hit against.
And lastly, a very happy Reds manager, David Bell.
Whatever it takes. So Yeah, guys continue to have, you know, great at-bats when we need them. And, of course, the base running is important to us. So, but the bullpen, actually, Andrew Abbott was great today. Good to see him back. Good to see his fastball back to where we've seen it when he's really good. Had both breaking balls working, and then our bullpen kind of took over from there and stepped up.
Used Diaz there. You had him up. I think it was in the seventh as well.
Yeah.
What was the behind? Was it the meat of the order coming up in the eighth?
Yeah. I mean, the game's on the line there. You got to get to the point in the game that we ended up getting to, and thought that was the best way to do it. Like you said, best hitters coming up. We also had some guys that had pitched a lot over the last few days, so we were trying to stay away from some of our pitchers, and ideally, you know, we're able to end the game while Diaz is pitching, but it took a little bit more, and TJ stepped up and got the job done there after Diaz. But Diaz did a great job. It's a lot to ask, and he definitely came through.
This hasn't been the easiest place for you guys to win here over the years. You gave the first game of the series, so how important is that, obviously?
Yeah, I mean, we know this is a really good team. Everybody knows that, so it takes our best, and our guys are playing with a lot of confidence, and we definitely grinded that one out tonight.
Doesn't take a rocket scientist to find out what our deep drive of the game was in this one. It was, of course, Spencer Steer's grand slam. Hit 383 feet, 104.4 off the bat. And as always, our deep drive of the game is presented by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production. They specialize in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. All right, taking a look around the NL Central. Man, the Pittsburgh Pirates, their early season magic just rolled on Monday. They beat the Washington Nationals 8-4. And get this, the Pittsburgh Pirates are 5-0. The Brewers were off. They're still 3-0. The Cubs blanked the Rockies 5-0. They're now 2-2 on the season. And the Cardinals beat the Padres 6-2. They're now 2-3. So really a great start overall for just about everyone in the NL Central, even the Cardinals, who started the year, of course, very slow against the Dodgers. All right, well, here is myself and Trace Fowler. This is from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube right after the game ends, as we do every single game. Stay tuned at the end. I'll tell you about the probable starters and Tuesday night's matchup against the Phillies.
I don't know what's going on. I'm not sure what's going on. All I know is that was a heart attack game. There's a lot of things to talk about. It's a winning edition of Chatterbox Reds. Nick, I'd ask you how you're feeling, but we just spent 45 minutes on air, the longest inning that we've ever done on Chatterbox Reds. So we got to talk a lot. And I'd ask you how you're doing, but I assume you're doing great. It's always lovely to kind of go in and take a game where you felt like at parts of it you didn't think that it was going to go your way. Started off in the first inning, I'm sure we'll get into all of it, where the vibes were down a little bit, and then they take a lead, the Phillies take a lead, and then ultimately Reds come back. I don't know. You got Spencer Steer on the rundown first. I guess that's where we start. I'm just trying to reel back in my brain. I had all these excellent points I was going to make. All these things I had seen throughout the game that it's like, oh, this, you know, the small things they add up, Nick, the small things they add up. We had this thing happen here, this thing happened there, and then now I'm just sitting here and my brain is straight pudding and I can't remember exactly what happened. So Spencer Steer, top of the mind, top of the reason as to why maybe the Reds are continuing to find ways to win. And we were told, Nick, by some baseball knowers that Spencer Steer was probably the most likely guy to regress. And the fact of the matter is this guy looks like a big league hitter. He's comfortable at the plate. He sees the ball well. He lets the ball travel, hits it the other way. And he, you know what? I was a little upset at him on that 2-0 pitch because I thought that, you know what? You're getting ready to get a cookie right down the middle. Be ready to hit it. He was patient. He was patient, and rightfully so. He got the same cookie the very next pitch, and he deposited it in the left field bleachers. And let's face it, this team offensively can hit right-handed pitching. It just can. And the question is can it hit left-handed pitching? I don't know where they go to try to figure that all out, but we'll find out another day. Today's not the day to figure that out now. But your overall thoughts, I guess, just on Spencer as a whole, and then we'll get into Andrew Abbott and kind of go down the chronological order, if you will, of this baseball game.
Yeah, obviously, you know, really good at-bats by Benson and India just to get to that situation. India was a little easier because the guy was all over the place. Benson actually really battled in his at-bat. I think he fouled off a couple pitches, 3-2, if memory serves me.
India-esque. I wouldn't give it as good of an at-bat as India's the other night, but it was India-esque, right? He laid off some good pitches, fouled some tough pitches off, but yes, he did.
Yeah, and you know, you come up with the bases loaded with a guy struggling with command, you make him throw a strike, and then you take your biggest hack on what you're expecting, the fastball down the middle, and Steer made him pay. And just what a wild turn of events over the last like 30 hours, like I said. I mean, looked like the Reds were well on their way to 1-2, and now you're 3-1, at least for a couple days. No matter what, you've avoided the bad start to the season, the dreaded bad start that's kind of plagued this franchise for ever. So at least you kind of got that out of the way. You're off to a good start. We'll see the rest of the series. I know the rain's going to be a big storyline, but if somehow all the games are played, you are staring at Zach Wheeler in game 3. So you at least got one win. And it just, when you win that first game on the road, Trace, I would like to hear your thoughts on this. It just, it feels so monumental, even more so than like these first wins at home. It just, you especially when you're facing a team that's a playoff caliber team like the Phillies.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of boxes that got checked tonight. Not to transition into the next point, but let's just do it because I think to your point, it's not so much that they got the win; it's the way in which they continue to find ways to win. And Andrew Abbott, he's a guy that we had talked about. He's on the cut line to be a starter. Let's face the facts. If he went out today, gave up 6 runs in the first inning, got pulled out after two thirds of a game, didn't even get through a full inning, you could make the case that he might not even get a chance to get another start in the big leagues. Obviously, that's not going to be the case now. He threw the ball incredibly well. I know that everyone's going to point back, oh, he threw the ball great outside that first inning. I mean, the first inning, he threw the ball okay, too. You know, I mean, he got a little loose. Maybe there was some nerves there. He's throwing in Philadelphia, by the way. I do want to remind everybody he's not throwing at home, and he's not throwing against the Washington Nationals. With all due respect to the Nationals, but we all know they're basically, it's a kid show, but they're turds, okay? Those guys are not very good. The Phillies are the real deal. I mean, they got guys up and down this lineup that can play, and there's some nerves there. But I'm not going to go deep and labor this point a bunch. And I know that, again, at some point the analytics will play out, and I'm sure that the shift will make sense. But the guy gets a guy that hits the ball at the end of the cap. It rolls down the first base line, and unfortunately, it's 67 miles an hour off the bat, and that leads to 2 runs. Again, woulda, coulda, shoulda is all over the place. But he throws shutout baseball if it wasn't for that. So Andrew Abbott looked great. He stays in the rotation. I think that means Nick Martinez moved down. I really do. I especially after what we've seen tonight. And that's my point, Nick. That's my bigger point to this, is it has little to do with how well Nick Martinez can actually start games. It's that we're going to TJ Antone, which I know we'll get to later in the game, but we're going to TJ Antone with a 4-run lead, and we're all collectively in the chat pissed off about it, or we're worried about it. That doesn't bode a lot of confidence for me, just saying. And then they got a guy at Buck Farmer going to come in. Now, I talk about solace a lot. That doesn't give me a lot of solace, knowing that Buck Farmer's backing up TJ Antone. That's like the blind leading the blind. That's like letting the lion guard the sheep. Not a very good idea, just saying. All right, back to Andrew Abbott. Final thoughts on him from me is I think that he looked like he did last year before he ran into what we'll call arm fatigue. I think that's the excuse we're using for his poor pitching down the stretch.
Yeah, that's a great lineup. I mean, the Phillies lineup is literally meant to hit. They're not meant to defend. They are a lineup stacked of dudes that can all hit. And especially, there's a lot of really tough right-handed bats that crush lefties. This was a really brutal first start of the year for him. I thought he threw the ball excellent. Only gave up 4 hard-hit balls the entire night. You might remember last year, even when he was cruising early on, he would still give up 6, 7, 8 hard-hit balls. I do think fatigue was a massive part of his second-half regression, but I also think some of it was also just natural regression. I do think he kind of overpitched early,
yeah,
kind of got some starts where he got through giving up some really hard hit balls. But tonight, I couldn't have dreamt of a better start really for Andrew Abbott in this spot, his first start of the year. Threw 90 pitches, and it felt like he never really even broke a sweat outside of that first inning.
No. I mean, he's got a little bit of a beer gut, though, for being honest. I don't know if you've seen it, Nick, but it's an interesting thought.
It's muscle.
Is that what we're calling that?
Yeah, yeah.
Muscle? All right. We're going to call it muscle. I mean, I'll call it muscle, too. I can already see Andrew Abbott sitting on his front porch in the rocking chair drinking his black coffee at like 4 a.m., when he's watching the sunrise every morning in some random country village. That's probably what Andrew Abbott will be doing here in about 35, 40 years based off of his appearance right now as a big leaguer, but that's here nor there. Alexis Diaz, we'll get into him really quickly. I don't have a whole lot to say. He's a decent arm. Let's not act like he's the world's worst arm. The question is whether or not he can stand up to pressure and can throw strikes when it means the most. They brought him in a unique situation. It wasn't a closing situation. And let's face it, I think even Reds Daily last year posted this, that we all assumed that Alexis Diaz didn't throw the ball well in non-save situations, but his numbers actually say different. But it did feel that way for a long time, that if you brought Diaz into a non-save situation, he wouldn't throw the ball all that well. He did tonight, got a bunch of outs. Kudos to Alexis Diaz for bouncing back and being a big part of the reason as to why they won this game.
Yeah, five outs. I mean, we did talk. We were watching live. A little bit of a bad first pitch to Nick Castellanos. But again, I'm not really going to crush Alexis Diaz for throwing strikes after some of the outings we saw. But this was a spot that he's never succeeded in. It feels like every time he's come in the eighth inning, it's failed. He got the job done today. This is kind of just a kind of game where you kind of check off some box. Okay, we were concerned about Andrew Abbott. Okay, he made us feel better. Alexis Diaz, all right, he made us feel better. And you can kind of go down the list of guys today. We'll talk about Indy in a second. He's been doing that all four games. But, right. This was a big, big outing for Alexis Diaz. And especially when you add the fact, Alexis Diaz had to have known this too. We did not know this at the time, but it was pretty clear that Lucas Sims was unavailable. So Alexis Diaz has to know that, and he picked up the slack knowing, hey, I got to cover Lucas's innings tonight because Lucas, I think, had thrown like 37 pitches over the last 3 days, which is quite a bit for a guy that's had some shoulder injuries and stuff in the past. And Alexis Diaz picked Sims up and picked his team up tonight.
I think David Bell's trying to be probably extra mindful this year of the way in which he handles his bullpen, based off the way that it's gone in years past, and especially last year. I mean, last year, I don't think there's really any two ways about it. They got tired towards the end of the year, and they were used a lot, and it showed. So we'll see if Bell decides to kind of manage that a little bit differently this year, give guys days off when we feel like we need him. And to your point, I don't know what's on the next rundown here, but to your point, we'll talk about Antone in a bit. But if you have someone in the bullpen and you don't feel confident enough to bring them in with a four-run lead. Now I get it's a little bit of a fake four-run lead with the ghost runner on second base and extra inning. So let's just call it a three-run lead. If you can't get three outs and not give up three runs on a consistent basis, you probably shouldn't be in the big leagues, which is probably a debate we'll get into in just a minute. Why the Game Time app? Largely because it's the best ticketing app that there is. Easy, efficient, quick, straight to the point. Two clicks, that's all it takes. Literally two clicks and you can have tickets. You can see where your tickets are. You can see the seat, what it looks like from the seat. And you can click on the all-in pricing button at the top of the screen like I do because I don't like the fee stuff. I know that the fees are already built in. I'm not an idiot, okay? But I just want to see it before I get to the checkout. But use the Game Time app. Use the promo code CINCY, that's CINCY, on your very first purchase. And you can get $20 off on your tickets. So please use the Game Time app. Okay, let's get into it. CES and the runner thing. All right, I'm still a little fired up about it. If they would have lost this game, I would have been full on pissed. If we're being honest, I'm still a little upset. David Bell's giving his interview right now. He's talking to the microphone. He's just like, "This is a really good team we got here. You know, we don't give up. We're gonna battle till the very end. And you know, these guys are just gamers. You know, I'm really proud to be their manager." That's what he's doing right now on the post game. If you want to tune into that, but anyway, CES. I know CES needs to help the runner, Nick. Can I give shared blame? You know, sometimes when you have a divorce, sometimes it is one person's fault. But sometimes it's kind of both. I think it's both parties' fault here. Jonathan India was staring right at the ball. The third base coach, in my opinion, okay, this is my opinion, of course, of all the years that I've grown up around baseball at a higher level, if you can see the outfield and you can see the play, it's your decision. You know your body, you know your speed, you know all that better than you. The third base coach can chime in, like, be aggressive, be aggressive, be aggressive, or they can chime in and yell, no, 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 no. But ultimately, it's your decision as a major league player whether you're going to go or not. And I think India, I don't want to say he made the wrong decision, but he made a questionable decision. He still was safe. And then he made the questionable decision of just not assuming that there was going to be a play at the plate. So I give India some blame. But you're also right, Nick, because I seen your post. CES needs to be there to help. Like, this, it goes both ways, man. We just need to be better there. That's my whole synopsis on that situation. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more CES. I mean, there's also, I think the one thing people say, well, the it was a shallow fly ball. Well, the center fielder can also airmail the throw. So when I don't know what CES was doing, but clearly he wasn't, you know, saying get down and slide. So when he's coming in, it's just an instinct thing. He's running, and he was running hard all the way home. So when he sees nothing there, he's thinking, oh, maybe airmail the throw or whatever. Sure, he probably should have slid, but it feels like the crossing guard not informing the people that there's a car coming. And okay, yeah, sure, they should have looked up, but come on, your job is to be the freaking crossing guard. Let the guy know, get down, slide, make it simple for Jonathan India, who Jonathan India hustled for a triple, was trying to hustle and get a run on the board. It's more on CES, but look at this. This is how I would sum this up. I don't think this ever happens again. This is one of these things CES knows, hey, I'm not letting that happen again, because I'm sure you heard about it. And it's just, look, it's one of these things that's going to happen with a young team. Thankfully for the Reds, it didn't cost them tonight. To CES's credit, he had two hits. He had a good night. To India's credit, he had a great night all throughout, and they picked themselves up. And at the end of the day, you wash your hands. It's all good, but you do have to be better.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if they lose this game, that's probably the number one talking point on some people's discussion boards is this play. It was a run. It was one in which, again, I would actually say of all the things that I questioned, more than anything was the decision that he decided to go. You have nobody out in the inning. You have the heart of your lineup up. Ultimately, I know that it doesn't automatically mean that when one thing happens, the next thing's 100% going to happen after that. And what I mean by that is, the very next hitter coming up was CES. He gets a hit. Ultimately, he would have scored anyways. I don't know. I don't know if I would have gone there. But to his credit, he made the right decision, because ultimately, if he would have slid, he would have been safe. And you could argue that CES was the reason why he did not slide. But that's that.
Again, I don't know if Indy had the scouting report. I'm assuming he probably did. I'm assuming J.R. House had the scouting report. But Brandon Marsh has a terrible arm. It rates as one of the lower rated arm values according to StatCast over several years of data. Made a great throw in that one. Like, you would never believe it, but the scouting report says run. So, and if he would have slid, he would have beat it. So it's hard to really be all that mad. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a learning experience. You move on. Thankfully, it didn't bite them tonight.
We'll continue to find ways to win. I truly believe that about this club. I really believe that, you know, they can win in a multitude of ways. The unique thing is that they've really not, in my opinion, got an excellent opportunity to utilize the biggest spark plug that they have in Ellie. And it's not that Ellie's been playing terrible. It's just that he's not done the Ellie types of things that you've seen him do in the past yet. But Ellie's been solid. I mean, the swing and miss is going to irritate a lot of people, because ultimately, and I know Ellie's not on the rundown, we'll get to Antone in a minute, but Ellie's situation is, it's kind of feast or famine, right? It feels like when he struggles or when he doesn't reach base, it's just strike. He's going to strike out. And that'll wear on you if you watch it enough. And I think that does wear on some people. But Ellie, I mean, hell, what? I don't know. You have his numbers right in front of you, but his numbers are actually pretty solid outside of obviously swing and miss.
He's got a 250 average, 669 OPS, so like, he's not been bad. Did strike out four times tonight, but yeah, I mean, and also we also have to remember that two of the four games have been against left-handed starters, which we know Ellie's not going to be as good against. You're not going to face 50% of left-handed starters. You're going to face maybe about 25 to 30%. So it's been I don't know, a little sacked, but also one of the left-handed starters is the worst, one of the worst pitchers in baseball. So I guess you can't go too far with that. But yeah, I'm not worried if that's a thing.
I think that there's going to be a debate in the not too far future about Ellie De La Cruz and switch hitting. I really do. I don't know when that's coming. I'm not rooting for it, Nick. I don't want people to think that it's like, oh, I'm ready to go off the deep end right now. It's just becoming more and more apparent that you try to start working on lefty-lefty. He's more comfortable. He's just been so much more productive from the left side of the plate. His right-handed splits are pretty bad. I know that it's young. I'm going to give it some time. But it feels like in the not-too-distant future, we will have a discussion around the fact of, hey, maybe we just give up the whole right-handed thing in general and we just continue to try to become better and better from the left-handed side. Because that's one thing that nobody talks about is how much time, effort, energy you have to put in to your craft to be a switch hitter. So much so that Lance Berkman, that I know all of us Reds fans remember because he was a Reds killer, but the craziest thing I've ever heard, I don't say ever, but it was a unique thing I heard when I listened to Lance Berkman talk about hitting. They asked him if there was anything that he would ever do over again in his career, and Lance Berkman immediately said he would not switch hit. Because he felt like it took way too much time for him to try to be, it was two completely different swings, and it's like sometimes you could go a week without doing, you know, without basically swinging right-handed, and then all of a sudden when you do have to hit right-handed, it could be in a huge spot, and you haven't swung in a week. And he had some good points about it. Now, I'm not suggesting it can't be done, but just food for thought down the road with Ellie De La Cruz and switch hitting. TJ Antone. The story is unbelievable, and I continue to harp on that. I think that shouldn't be overshadowed. He's got grit. The dude's made of nothing but just pure guts to get back to this spot where he's probably, for many of us, never thought a million years he'd get back. But this isn't a charity case. He's got to be good enough to be here. I don't think either one of us are in the camp that he's probably good enough to be here based off the options you have available to you.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't feel that you shouldn't feel that nervous about a 4-run lead, especially with where they were in the lineup as well. His fastball velocity is down about 3 miles per hour towards whatever his like average is, according to StatCast. Look, they got through it tonight, so you know, credit to him for finding a way. Really was battling it early, but it's just hard to see how he's one of the Reds' best options, and he has options himself to where you can get sent down to AAA. You're not worried about losing a guy, and I just think Tony Santillan's a better option right now, and I hope we don't have to go through several games where it becomes crystal clear to everyone that he needs to go down for Tony Santillan, but I kind of fear that could be coming, so.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the box score right now. I mean, Philly's only got 7 hits. It's a good night. It's a good night from the arms. And I Antone, to be clear, it was dicey. It was very dicey. Obviously, you couple that with his last outing, and you get the thought and the sentiments that we have. But I just want to remind everybody, I'm going to try to be fair here, that the only run that he gave up was the Phantom Ghost Runner run. So I know that's not a good stat. I know that's not a way to continue to go about it, but let's be semi-fair here. He didn't give up. It's not like he gave up, you know, 3 runs and the Reds hung on and won 6-5, although that was very close to happening. That didn't happen. So shout out to TJ Antone.
All right. Well, unfortunately, there's a very bad forecast in Philadelphia on Tuesday night. Not looking too optimistic that they do get this game in, but nonetheless, I'll tell you about the game if it is able to happen. Game will be at 6:40 p.m. It's on Bally Sports Ohio as normal. But if you are outside of the Cincinnati market, this will actually be a national TV broadcast on TBS as they have one game of the week, I believe, during the week. For the Phillies, they will have right-hander Spencer Turnbull on the mound. Spencer Turnbull, you might remember, he looked like a pitcher on the rise with the Detroit Tigers back in 2021. Threw a no-hitter that year and actually had a 2.88 ERA over 7 starts, but then he needed Tommy John surgery, And Turnbull since then only has pitched in 13 games between AAA and MLB, those all coming in 2023. But he really struggled at both levels, had an ERA over 7 at the big leagues, ERA well above 6 at AAA. The Phillies this offseason, they signed Turnbull to a one-year deal worth $2 million, which does include some performance bonuses. He wasn't supposed to make a start for the Phillies, but ironically enough, the reason he is in the rotation is because the Phillies were rained out on opening day. The Phillies had planned to have Zach Wheeler pitch on normal rest on Tuesday, but that rainout pushed him back, and that got Spencer Steele out of a long man role and into a starter role. Todd Zaleski, Phillies writer for MLB.com, said Turnbull will probably be limited to 5 innings, 80 to 85 pitches. Turnbull allowed just 2 runs over 8 innings this spring. That's a 2.25 ERA. He was really sharp this spring, only walked 2 batters and struck out 12 over those 8 innings. Turnbull only has 2 career starts against the Reds, and they came back in 2020, and he had a 2.45 ERA in those starts. You might remember in 2020, the NL Central and the AL Central pretty much played each other a whole bunch. I think he played every team 10 times, if I remember right. So kind of a weird year. You wouldn't expect to play the Tigers as much as the Reds did, but nonetheless, they did that season. Santiago Espinal is the only active Red that has ever faced Turnbull. Espinal is 0-2. All right, for the Reds, it'll be Graham Ashcraft making his 2024 debut, rounding out the Reds' opening day rotation. Ashcraft, of course, coming off last year, went 7-9, 4.76 ERA. Really, really good at times. Had a little bit of a hiccup for a few weeks that kind of inflated his overall ERA. But looking forward to seeing what Graham Ashcraft can do in 2024. Ashcraft threw 6 shutout innings against the Phillies at Great American Ballpark last year. Only gave up 4 hits, walked 4, and struck out 4. That is actually Ashcraft's only career game against the Phillies, and he's never pitched at Citizens Bank Park. The Phillies against Graham Ashcraft, Alec Bohm, 1-for-1 with a double. Nick Castellanos and Kyle Schwarber, they are each 0-for-3. Brandon Marsh and Trey Turner, each 0-for-2. And Graham Ashcraft has never faced Bryce Harper. Ashcraft coming off a little bit of a shaky spring. He had a 5.52 ERA in 4 starts. Ashcraft really struggled with his command this spring, which was a little bit surprising. He walked 8 batters in 14 2/3 innings pitched. All right. Well, thanks so much, as always, for listening to Chatterbox Reds. Really appreciate all of your support. Of course, be sure to subscribe to Chatterbox Reds if you haven't already, wherever you listen to this podcast. Be sure to subscribe to Chatterbox Sports over on YouTube. Live post-game shows after every game. Of course, you can hit the bell up in the top right corner. That'll turn on notifications so you're notified anytime that we go live. And we've got a whole bunch of them lately. Can't tell you how much I appreciate this because it really, really does help us. But thanks to everyone that's left us a 5-star review. It really means a lot to me. If you haven't yet, just put 2 words in it. Love the show. That's 3 words, I think. Put something really short and sweet. Doesn't have to be anything great. But if you could leave 5 stars, I would really, really appreciate it. But even more important than any of the metrics and all that kind of stuff is the good old-fashioned word of mouth. If you like what we're doing here at Chatterbox Reds, tell a Reds fan. Say, hey, these idiots do a podcast every day. Kind of like it. Kind of fun. Something to get me through the morning. Tell a friend, a Reds fan, about Chatterbox Reds. Because there's a lot of people, I think, that aren't on social media and all that, probably don't know about the show, and that really would help us out, and I would really, really appreciate that. And lastly, Off the Bench is back tomorrow, Tuesday, with host Trace Fowler. They'll be talking, of course, about this big Reds win, talking about probably a lot of NFL, maybe some March Madness, maybe some women's March Madness. There was some really good games on Monday night in the Elite Eight over on the women's side. So Off the Bench, 10 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday, with my co-host here at Chatterbox Reds, Trace Fowler, hosts that. So be sure to check that out. Of course, that's on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. Links to all of the shows, links to the Game Time app, links to DSC Commodities, all that's in the episode notes below. So be sure to check that out. Again, thanks as always for listening. Hope that you have a fantastic Tuesday, and we'll talk again soon. Go Reds!